This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
We got coffee with flavored creamers, and we got soup today. That's what we got today. So, are you a flavored creamer guy, Josh?
When I started drinking coffee, I took a hard left turn from caramel macchiatos to black coffee with one sugar. Like, okay. It just kind of, one day I was like, I need to make this coffee fast. I'm just going to do black coffee with, just throw some sugar in it, and I've never gone back.
I'm a black coffee with just some sugar. More sweetener guy, though, but yeah, I can do that, you know?
What about just
black with nothing?
I've been dabbling into that a little bit, but it kind of depends on the coffee. It depends on where I get it, if I make it myself and all that, but...
Can you tell the difference? Like, do you know where you get it from? And
for sure.
That matters?
Yeah. No, it doesn't really matter, but I can tell the difference. But, like, I don't have an aversion to flavored coffee. Like, I like it. I just won't go
for it. It's not flavored coffee. I'm talking about flavored creamers, right?
Well, right, but it
does flavor the coffee. I put a lot of I don't like I can't have, like, the regular creamers. You know what I mean? Like, half and half milk, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
I do. I enjoy... Excuse me. I enjoy French vanilla or hazelnut, the creamers that I use.
Okay.
Those are the ones that I use.
I like the ones around Christmas time, like the sugar cookie ones and stuff like that. Like,
the mint, they have the mint chocolatey stuff. Yeah, that's really good, right?
Those are good. I'm also a big hot chocolate guy, so sometimes I'll just go hot chocolate instead of coffee. And
Normally I have I get my coffee before I come in. If I'm coming into the studio today, I'm here in our Amherst studio. Sometimes I'm at home doing the show in Studio Capaccio. And normally, I'll get a big cup and, you know, put some creamer in before I leave. Today, I'm like, you know what? I got to go into the station early, so I'll stop and get some and grab some flavored creamers as well. So I'm just pounding them in right now. And the reason I had to come here early is I actually had to bring a soup in today, too. Today is the soup herbal, S-O-U-P herbal, the soup herbal here at our Odyssey building. And there are a bunch of soups out there, crock pots.
The
and they smell great.
Delectable right now. Like,
it smells amazing out there.
It smells awesome out there.
You didn't bring one, right?
No, I kind of forgot. I was
But you can still. But you can still taste. And you can judge.
Oh yeah,
You can either. I mean, heck, come on. I'm just kidding. I would be like, come on out, everybody. Let's go judge our soup. But we're having a soup herbal contest here, where people who work here, whether you're on the air or behind the scenes, and account exec, whoever. Management people are bringing in soups. I have a soup. Brought in a soup. My wife makes a very good. I'm going to say right now because people are listening. Like, that's Sal's soup when they come in. We have a potato soup that she made. That's great.
Wait, so you didn't make it?
I helped make it, but it's mostly her.
I don't know.
It's okay.
I don't know if that's.
I know.
On the
I know.
Rules a little bit.
That's okay. We'll be all right. We said it's the Capaccio household soup.
Okay. All right. Well, that's different.
It's the Capaccio household soup, but she makes a good one. So I helped in making it, but she had to help me along. I don't cook very well. But I'm like, I want to do the soup thing. I want to enjoy and participate in this.
Soups are pretty easy because you just throw a bunch of stuff in a pot and walk away for the most part.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of all soups are in my experience anyway. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm doing soup wrong, but.
Well, I can't wait to go try some of these soups a little bit later. Have my coffee now and then, I don't know, coffee and soup doesn't go together necessarily, but coffee now, a little soup later. It's going to be fun. We're going to have a good time here today. When they first broached with this idea and told me, I said, well, let's make sure we do it on a day where there's no Super Bowl parade. And then, obviously, that's not happening anyway. So, you know. By the way, the Eagles aren't having their parade till Friday. Did you see that?
Why?
Right?
That's Is there a reason? Or, like, just because?
Because what's funny to me is, hold on, let me make sure.
Well, I mean, Jalen Hurts is in Disney World right now. Did you see those pictures? He said that he's going there, and then there was a guy on a roller coaster. Like, there's a viral video of a guy turning around on one of the roller coasters because Jalen Hurts is right behind him, and he's just staring like, is that Jalen Hurts? And... yeah, it's just I saw
that he was there. They're having the parade Friday, and last week before the game, leading up, and even months ago, like my family planned a vacation. Next week's winter break; a lot of the kids are off. It's the end of the season. I'm like, we usually get away, and I said we got to do it after there's a possible. You got to plan around if the Bills happen to win and want to be here to do your job and cover everything. I said we got to do it after a parade, and I literally went back and researched all the other parades over the last, like, several years. It's always been on a Wednesday. So I'm like, oh, the parade will be on Wednesday, February 12th, if they win the Super Bowl. It's not this year. The Eagles are having it on a Friday. And I'm like, man, like, if that was me, I'm leaving Friday night. Like, I would have to go to the parade and then head out home and get my stuff and go. But they're having a parade Friday night. I'm sorry, Friday during the day in Philadelphia. They are the Super Bowl 59 champions. Super Bowl 60 next year in San Francisco. I've thought about what that could look like, too. It's now, New Orleans is an hour behind. Obviously, San Francisco is 3 hours behind. So next year, if the Bills happen to make it, but any of the teams that are in it, but if you're an East Coast team, an Eastern time zone team like the Bills, you make the Super Bowl, like going out there and covering it, like Jeremy and Joe would be on the air. And it would be 3 a.m. in San Francisco time. So there's really nothing. So I put myself in that position. I'm like, I'd have to join Jeremy and Joe at some point in the morning. If I'm out covering the Super Bowl all week, then I have to jump on the air. And I'd be like, dude, I can't go on until like 6 a.m. our time. What, do you want me to get up at 3 in the morning?
Yeah, I mean, like early on in the trip, you'd probably be okay because it'd still be 6
maybe.
In the morning for you.
Maybe. Yeah.
But like,
it's got to be an adjustment.
I couldn't imagine doing that. That's tough.
And then show up with the Bulldog would be on when it's basically like noon. But I think they may even be out there for that, right? I know that they were supposed to go this year as well, and it didn't work out. All right, so 803-0550 is the number to call on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show today. Sal Capaccio with you on our S-O-U-P Super Bowl day here today at Odyssey. Going to try some soups a little bit later, but I want to try this on you today, right now, if you could give me a call. I just have a simple question for you. I threw this out on social media. You can go to my Twitter feed at Sal Sports, by the way. What do you want from the Bills defense? Like, what do you want? Do you want more man to man? Do you want a complete overhaul of the defensive line? I mean, what does that include? Because you can't just get rid of people and bring people in. Like, there are salary cap implications here, right? I mean, you have to think about all this. Do you want one great interior disruptor? Do you want one great edge rusher to go out and trade for? Do you want more blitzing? You could say you want a new coordinator, a new head coach. That ain't happening. So whatever. You can want that, I guess. It's not happening. I'd like you to give me a call. 803-0550. What do you want from the Bills defense? Someone had said to me and tweeted me earlier today that you can't play zone defense against Patrick Mahomes. He'll just kill you. You know what the Eagles just did? They played zone defense the entire game against Patrick Mahomes. But the reason why it worked is they were able to get home with their front four. You know, we hear a lot. I get a lot of calls about scheme and coaching. And you guys know, I mean, I think this coaching staff is good at what they do. They were outcoached and outplayed on Sunday, no doubt, a couple weeks ago. But, you know, you got to have better players, too. Your players got to be able to win. What bothered me about when I sit back and take the, I guess, proverbial 30,000-foot view of the Super Bowl and how the game unfolded is it bothers me that, like, why couldn't the Bills even have, so I wouldn't expect them to do what the Eagles did. The Eagles were unbelievable on, like, every team in the league is like, oh my God, they were unbelievable. How we want that. But you're not getting that in most cases, in almost any case. But they weren't even like semi-close to that. And I thought they could have been that Sunday in Kansas City a couple weeks ago. Like, that's what I wanted to see. Like, I really felt going into the Chiefs game in the AFC Championship that the biggest strength the Bills had, like the biggest advantage they had, was their defensive line against the Chiefs offensive line that had Tooney and Caliendo on the left especially. And it just didn't materialize. Now, I know that they didn't have the same front that the Texans had the week before when they disrupted. But when you want to talk about, we get calls all the time about stop playing the soft zone, stop playing the soft zone, however you want to term that. And not all zones are soft, by the way, right? I mean, there's a lot of nuance here, but stop playing this zone defense doesn't work. It doesn't work. I don't know. The Eagles just did it, and they won a Super Bowl in dominant fashion. But what they did was they played a cover four, not cover two. Cover four is four deeper guys, basically. Two corners and two safeties stay deep. And then the other three guys underneath, the linebackers, they're also playing zone, and there's just nowhere to throw because the front four just getting after it so quickly. That's why it worked. That's what the Bills and any team really can't do. It's so hard to do. So hard. It's a tough... What did Brandon Bean say a couple weeks ago when he met with us? Yeah, I'd love a guy like Chris Jones. I'd love to have a guy like that. They just don't become available every day. Well, Myles Garrett might be available. Maybe Max Crosby is available. There's going to be... Josh Sweat is going to be available, right? There are guys that can be disruptors who are available. There are a lot of implications and barriers to landing those players. You have to be realistic in some capacity here. You can't just snap your fingers and force the Browns to trade you Myles Garrett. You can't just snap your fingers and force the Raiders to trade you Max Crosby. You can't just wish it into existence that some guy just suddenly becomes a free agent that's under contract. Like, those things, you have to be realistic. And there are salary cap implications. Now, I'm on the record, and I'll say it again. I think now is the time where if you have to take that big swing that's going to cost you a little bit down the road, you do it. That's why I was never against, I was for and understood, I should say, why they did the Von Miller thing. A lot of you, oh, overpay. Dude, he was brought to win a Super Bowl within a couple of years. And if you're paying extra because, you know, down the road, 3-4 years from then, after he wins a Lombardi, who cares? That's what I feel about a guy like Myles Garrett. That's what I feel like a guy like Max Crosby. If that's what it takes, if you have to give up, I mean, look what the Rams, at what they did. Les Snead basically said, I don't care about first-round picks. The Rams did not pick in the first round for, like, what, 7 straight years or something. Incredible. They won a Lombardi. Because he said, I need to make these swings. It does not guarantee you anything. It does not guarantee you anything ever. What do you really want for the Bills defense? I'm curious. Because I do think there's a movement here afoot where we're starting to see some breadcrumbs leading to maybe a change in philosophy from the Bills. And we've talked about this. Some of the hires they've made, are they shifting a little bit more to man-to-man? Like, we'll see how all this starts to happen and comes together. 803-0550 here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Let's go to Tim in Buffalo. Hi, Tim. What do you want from the Bills defense?
Good morning, Sal. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Yep. I'm kind of torn in between. And the reason I'm torn in between is the fact that when we expect the defensive line to have a game, it's what I call intermittent. You have flashes where they have great drives and they have flashes where not so great drives. I expect that from the edge rushers, but I don't expect that from the line guys. I want them to disrupt at least more than half the game, and I don't see that. That's the problem I have with some of the players we have right now. The other problem we have, which I think goes hand in hand, is I don't think Bean goes all the way when he gets rid of a first-round draft pick. You don't go for the swing. You go for trying to fill the roster. Hmm. And I think it's time where you sit there and you got to go the other way. You can't, if you're getting rid of the first rounder, you're going for the swing. You're not going for, and I think the problem that we have right now is we brought people back that obviously they show flashes, but the problem that I have is I just don't see us disrupting like we should from a pass rush game by game. I'm not saying it's terrible.
Yeah, Tim, I like your point about the first round thing, and you're right about the players, obviously, which is maybe a better way to say it is it might be more risk, but you go with the higher upside reward, right? Maybe
right. Instead. And that's the problem I have right now.
Yeah.
And for years now, people have chastised me, but I would love to see more consistency from Ed Oliver.
Sure.
Game by game.
Yeah, for sure. I don't disagree with that, Tim. I got to run. I got more calls on the line. Thank you for that. I like your point about the first round pick. And Joe and Jeremy were talking about this morning, which is, you know, at some point you say you go with, hey, Josh Allen was this guy. They took the biggest swing they could on Josh Allen, and people said, you're nuts and you're crazy, and look at all that, and look how it turned out. It doesn't have to turn out that way, and it might not, and you're taking a big risk, right? But maybe that's what you, maybe the philosophy of drafting changes to this guy, instead of, and you want him always to fit your culture, but instead of culture fit, high floor, whatever, maybe it's, you know what? This guy's just great. And we're going to bring him in, and he's going to be great for us. And if he's not, we took the biggest swing possible. RJ in Hamburg. What's up, RJ?
Hey, guys. Two quick things here. So first is we need an impact player. The last impact player we really drafted was Josh Allen. We haven't drafted that guy that says, oh, my God, we're going to put him on the field, and this guy's just going to go lights out like we expected Josh to do. I mean, the last guy we picked up other than him would be, off a trade would have been the wide receiver. So, I mean, we need to pick somebody up, and Myles Garrett or Max Crosby is that impact guy. That's that guy. Will people are going to say, wait a second, we have to double, triple team that man. That makes Ed Oliver better. That makes Daquan Jones better. Those are things that we need to do. And the second thing is, I'm kind of tired listening to this whole season, basically, in the last 6-7 years, where we protect McDermott. He's not a guy that's a generational talent in Josh Allen. He has to win something. It's not just winning 13 games and losing in the playoffs. It has to be something where we win and do something significant for this team. I mean, why do we keep protecting him to a certain extent to say, well, he won 13, 14 games?
What do you want them to do? Do you want them to fire him? I don't know what you mean by protect him.
Well, let's put his feet to the fire.
What does that mean? What does that mean? We get calls like this all the time. I get it from social media. A lot of people do. What do you want to happen? Tell me what that looks like, RJ. That's not protecting him.
I think at a certain point, we have to make a change.
Okay, so you want him fired. Okay, he did just win the most valuable player with not a great roster with this coach.
I'm just saying we need to get a coach that I think we need. Maybe it's a turn. Maybe that's
okay.
What it is.
So that's what it is. You want him fired. That's what it is. You just want him fired.
Yeah.
With all this stuff about hold him accountable, feet to the fire. People call up like you do every day. People do that every day. There's no doubt. So you just want him fired. That's what it is. I get it. Okay. But that's, don't say about protecting him. People call like you do every day. That's not protecting him. You're saying it on the air. And that's okay. If you want to change, then just say it. Say what you want. Let's go to Charlie on a cell. Hi, Charlie. You're on WGR. By the way, great. Yeah, real quick, Charlie. I'm sorry. I just want to, real quick, Charlie. Great, though. I do want to revisit real quick what he just said, that last caller, about the disruptor. I have something. It reminded me. Defensive player of the year voting. I'm curious, how many times a Bills player recently has been in that. I'm going to look it up. But, Charlie, you go ahead first. Go ahead, buddy.
Two things. This, the last caller made me change the perspective and add something to it. The first one I wanted to say was this. We should be glad, Buffalo. We just dodged the bullet. Can you imagine having gone to the Super Bowl four times and five times and losing? Okay, this time around.
Well, I would have liked to have seen if they could, but you're right. I think the Eagles would have been the better team.
The best team in our division couldn't conquer those guys. They were ready. They played great defense. Bang! They won it. They stomped their way through. And if we had been there, we would have gotten the same treatment that Kansas City got. Probably maybe a little closer, maybe a little bit of this or that, but the end result would have pretty much been the same. The second, from a fan standpoint, we'd be the laughing stock of the country, even the world right now. Number two, this hue and cry about getting rid of McDermott, professional football, not only is it a business, but it is about being able to establish a culture within different cities around the country. Football players talk to one another. Those who are former players, who live in different cities, we know where to go, where to go, no matter what the money, the kind of social milieu that is in that place. is a thing that keeps us from coming here. We, after the Bruce Smith era, hey, we suffered a long drought because the reputation of the owner and the organization in terms of its fluidity in working with players of certain ilks was not there. Old guys versus young guys, and I'm talking about old ownership versus young attitudes, and at the same time, old coaches and trainers who are, again, coaching from yesterday as opposed to the 21st century.
Yeah.
Now, today,
I got to get going, Charlie. What else, buddy?
He brought a new culture to this ball, making other guys want to come here and play. Guys ought to be glad for this guy because, yeah. Again.
Well, here's my response to the person said a little while ago of, well, at some point you have Josh Allen, you have to win. And that's fine. Right. We all know that, right? Like, Sean McDermott has not gotten the Bills to a Super Bowl, and he has this incredibly talented quarterback. On that note, I know that John Harbaugh has won a Super Bowl. I get it. It was well before Lamar Jackson. I would guess you'd also advocate and say the same thing for him. He should be changed because he has Lamar. They haven't made it to a Super Bowl. Or pick your other coaches and quarterbacks, right? I mean, like, one team can win, one team can get there. So, I mean, but if you want him fired, just say that. If that's what you want, then just call up and say it. Alan on a cell. Hi, Alan. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. How you doing?
Good.
First of all, I don't know if I agree with your last caller. We have one of the best offensive lines in football and a better running game, yep, than the Chiefs. And I think that would have been a really tight game because they couldn't have got to Allen.
Well, the thing about it, Alan, you're right. Sports and football is about matchups, right? Matchups. And I do think that our offensive line here in Buffalo would have been better against that defensive line in Philadelphia. I don't know if the result would have been different as far as the win-loss, because Philly's a really strong team, but I agree that they wouldn't have had six sacks on Josh Allen.
Exactly. My one other point, I'm still stinging because I think the Bills are a better team than the Chiefs. You give us that fourth down back, that should have been a first, and if Benford plays the rest of that game, we seem to have the breaks. But we seem not to get the breaks. But my point is this. You could say all you want about Myles Garrett. He's got $45 million cap hit.
No, he does not. Only for the Browns he does. He does not for the team acquiring him.
Yeah. That's what I meant. You had a guy on from the Raiders. I don't know if it was you last week or somebody else. And they're not really, I think it could have been the other guys, but they're not really interested in trading for Crosby, getting rid of Crosby. So you really have to offer something far and beyond. And yes, may it take that? Because I think if we had a Garrett or Crosby, we'd have won the game. It doesn't matter if you play zone, man-to-man, whatever you want to play, you got to get to the quarterback. And if you don't, he'll be all day, just like Josh Allen had all day against the Broncos. Even though they had a great pass rush, they couldn't get to him.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just think, I'm still thinking, I think the Bills are the better team, and they just can't get the breaks. No matter who you have, Leslie Frazier, McDermott as our coordinator, it seems like our defense continuously lets us down in that game, and I don't know why. And they had a time with a minute 50 to go, or minute 30 to go, make a stop, third and nine, give Allen the ball back with 50 seconds, and they let a third-string running back catch a pass to go out and for 9 yards. I just don't get it. So anyway, I'll hang up. I love your show.
Thank you, Alan. Appreciate that. I got to go to a couple more callers. Then we're going to get to the bottom of the hour, and Carlo Colaiacovo is going to join me. The Four Nations Faceoff starts tomorrow. Jamie in Oakfield. What's up, Jamie?
How you doing, Sal?
I'm good. Thank you.
My point is, you look at the teams that are, like, really good. You look at the Rams. You look at the Lions. You look at the Ravens. They all have dominant defensive lines. When Detroit, when they were healthy, their defensive line was unstoppable. To me, I don't understand why Carter wasn't playing, and I don't understand why Solomon wasn't playing during the season at all.
I could try to answer those for you if you want.
All right. I think Carter might have been hurt, but...
Well, he had the wrist injury, and when he came back, I just don't think that... We talked about this in the broadcast, and the way Eric, and of course Eric played on the line, for a player like that to use his hands is so critical, and I don't think he was ever quite the same.
Okay, yeah. But I think Daquan needs to be gone, and I think Epinesa needs to be gone. They're not consistent. Mm. I don't think that I think Daquan has definitely taken a step back from last year. And, at 32, 33, it's time for him to go on and put someone in there. I like Carter. I think Russo actually took the biggest step because his defense on the run was so much better this year than it was last year. And if you get someone like Garrett or somebody, an outside rusher, that's going to let Oliver go. And Oliver was double-teamed all year. I know people say he was inconsistent, but he was double-teamed every play this year. And, he made plays that just wasn't on every down.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Jamie. I appreciate that. Good thoughts. All right, we'll take a timeout here coming up. When we come back, our buddy Carlo Colaiacovo, former NHL player, former Buffalo Sabre, he is now in the media up in Toronto. We've had him on before, and the reason why is tomorrow begins the Four Nations face-off. You got Canada, the U.S., Sweden, Finland. They're going at it in a hockey tournament for about a week. That's why the NHL is shut down. Can't wait to watch it. It's going to be very cool. We had a really good first 25 minutes of the show today, though. I didn't expect all those responses, but I'm very thankful for them. So keep them coming as we go on, because at 11 a.m., also going to talk with Matt Perino, our buddy from Syracuse.com. So we got a lot more Bills to talk about. We'll get to Carlo Colaiacovo coming up after this, talk about the Four Nations face-off, and more of your phone calls here today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Hope you're enjoying your Tuesday morning.